Shalom Ravosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Lamed. Very exciting. We've been doing the Sechah Shabbos for about a month now. And we are at the Mishnah at the bottom of Chof Tes Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us, HaMechabe Esaner Mipnei Shemis Yore Mipnei Nachrim Mipnei Listim Mipnei Ruach Ra Mipnei Achol HaShayishon. If you put out a candle, right? We know Mechabe is one of the Malachas Shabbos. If you put out a candle because you're afraid of Goyim, right? Rashi says here, just like he said by Chanukah, that there's a Sakana that... For example, the Persians had a holiday where only they were allowed to light candles in their base of Avodah Zarah. So if you have a candle in your house, that could be a danger. So if you're if you put out the candle because you're afraid of Goyim, or you're afraid of robbers, listing of robbers, Mipnei Ruach Ra, because of some sort of, perhaps a depression, or some sort of evil spirit that, you know, Rashi writes that a person is a little bit messed up, right? Ruach Ra Habai Love, meaning the person has some sort of evil spirit or type of depression about him, and it's easier for him, it's better for him to be in the dark, or because you want someone who's sick to be able to sleep. So the halacha is patur, and we'll explain exactly what's going on in a minute. If you're concerned about the lamp, the ner, again, here not meaning the candle, but meaning the lamp, the little probably pottery or type jug that you're using to light the wick and the oil, or kachas al shemen, or if you care about the oil, or if you care about the wick, so then you are chayiv. Just quickly, just finish the mission, and we'll explain. Rabbi Yossi poter b'kulan chutz min apsila mipnei shehu sepecham. Rabbi Yossi says you're poter in all of them, except for if you're concerned about the wick, because it creates pecham is pechamim in Hebrew, or charcoal. So it creates a charcoal when you put the put the wick out. We'll just explain right now. We're talking about malacha shenein tzricha legufa, or malacha shetzricha legufa. We had before a malchokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about davar shenein miskaven, a malacha that you don't intend to do. Right? We had that. You're dragging the bench over the dirt, and you make a ditch. So that was a malacha shenein davar shenein miskaven. That's something you didn't intend to do. That malacha. Here we're talking about malacha shena tzricha legufa. You intended to do the malacha, but you don't actually need the malacha done. This is a Mishnah in Daf Tzadi Gimel on the Beis, where the Mishnah over there says, we also referenced this before once in the Sechta. The Mishnah says over there, the case is where you're going to have, you have a Rachman al-Islam, you have a mace in the house, and you want to take it out. Of the house, and thereby, you know, by taking the mace out of the house, that's going to violate Hotzah. You're taking from Rishusa Yachit to Rishusa Rabin. So Rabbi Yossi says, you're Pater. Why? Well, there are a couple explanations, right? Rashi Tosos, well-known Machlokas Rashi Tosos, but let's just take Rashi. Rashi says that since you're, what are you trying to accomplish? You're not trying to accomplish, you don't want to take the mace outside, right? It's not like you're doing Hotzah. You want to take, I don't know, a piece of food outside with you when you go on your walk. That's the malacha of Otsa. No, you just want the mace out of the room. So it's a malacha shenot tzricha legufa. It's a malacha, you don't need the malacha being done. You intend to do the malacha, but you don't need the malacha itself. You're doing it for a different purpose. So that's the machlokas over here. In that scenario, Rabbi Shimon says it's pater. Again, pater avalaser, right? So it's aser mid rabbanan, but you're pater mid oraisa. And Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayiv. So over here, again, you know, we see if you put if you apply it back to our Mishnah, so if you put the candle out, the ner, the lamp out, because you're afraid of Goyim or Ruach Ra or whatever, so it's Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. You don't need the light to be out. You have some outside type of, concern that, that is at play here. But if you want the candle, or you're afraid of the candle damaging, or the wicks, or the oil, so that will mean... then you are, that's already, you want the malacha that you're doing, you're concerned about the actual extinguishing, and that is, then you're going to be chayv. Okay, and Rabbi Yossi, we're going to get to Rabbi Yossi in a little bit. So it says in the Hilkei Gemara, a bit of a funny looking daf. We're going to have some agadata. But let's dive in. Midikatani seifa chayv. All right, again, this is all based on the background that I gave you, so this Mishnah, the Gemara should read pretty good. From the fact that we said chayiv in a seifa, shmarmina Rabbi Yehuda, apparently we see that it's Rabbi Yehuda, right? Apparently that we hold that you're chayiv for malacha shenei tzricha legufa, yeah? Because, again, when you put out the flame, I didn't explain exactly 100%, but the Gemara will kind of clarify. When you put out the flame, you have to save the oil. So that's Malacha Shein Tzuch LeGufa. Let's just edit what I said before a little bit. But all the cases in the Mishnah are Malacha Shein Tzuch LeGufa. At this point, the Gemara assumes. So when you put out the fire, it's not because you don't want the fire to be burning, it's because you're concerned about the oil, for example, being burned. So that's Malacha Shein Tzuch LeGufa. If the Mishnah says you're chayiv, that apparently is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So the Gemara says that, well, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're chayiv, and this is a Malacha Shein Tzuch LeGufa, so then Reisha B'maya Sikna. What's the case in the Reisha where you said Potter? Well, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's Chayiv. What's the difference between all those cases earlier in the Mishnah and the case later in the Mishnah that's Chayiv? Right? I mean, the original cases, the first few cases are Potter. So the Gemara says, Iba Chola Sheis Bo Sakana, if it's a Chola Sheis Bo Sakana, right? So the Gemara says, Mutter Mi Bayale, right? It's not Potter. Potter, we said in Hilchah Shabbos, is Potter Al Lesser. So really, the Mishnah should have said Mutter. Anything is Mutter to do for a Chola Sheish Bo Sakana. Viba Chola Sheim Bo Sakana, but if it's a Chola that's not, you know, in danger of dying, so Chayiv Chatos Mi Bayale, right? You said it was Potter, so why would you say Potter? If we're talking about Rabbi Yehuda Shita, he holds the Malach Hashem Tzuch LeGufa is Chayiv. So the Gemara says, La Olam, really, we're talking about the Chola Sheish Bo Sakana. Really, the case is a chola shiyesh bo sakana uvedinu, and really listening mutter. That really should have said mutter in the beginning of the Mishnah. Va'idi debay the Mishnah seifa chayiv tananami reisha potter. And since we're going to end up saying chayiv in the seifa for those few cases, so we wanted to take the opposite of chayiv. Potter is more opposite of chayiv than mutter. That's what Rashi writes. Not sure why, but okay. Potter is more opposite of chayiv than mutter. Those two go hand in hand. So therefore, we wrote potter. Potter. Vaditani Rabbi Oshia and Bishvila Cholash Yishan Lo Yichabev in Kaba Potter Aval Aser. Right. In what Rabbi Oshia taught, not in our Mishnah, but Rabbi Oshia said that if you're doing it for a chola to sleep, you shouldn't extinguish it, and if you did, it's Potter Aval Aser. So Ahi Becholash Imbo Sarkana. That must be a case of a Cholash Imbo Sarkana. And Rabbi Shimon, and that is Rabbi Shimon's shita, right? Because we said Rabbi Shimon holds a chol she'ein bo darish, you know, tzricha legufa, a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is potter aval aser. Now, just to clarify, this would also apply to the other cases in the Mishnah, right? We're here, the Gemara only talks about sarkana, right? Chol she'ein bo sarkana, but the other cases. Because of Nachrim, because of Goyim, or Listim, or Ruach Hara, so what you have to say is that all of those cases also are cases of Sarkanos Nefashos, and that's exactly what Rashi writes, actually. Dibra Maschel E, Di Ispe Sarkanos Nefashos, Umishum Bekoach Nefesh, Shari Luhu. Shari Luhu, that Rashi is talking in plural, Di Isbehu, not only the case of Chola, but also the other cases that we quoted in the Mishnah, you have to say that if, you know, according to this understanding, that they are also cases of Pikuach Nefesh, and really Rabbi Yehuda would say that they're mutter, but we just use the Lashon of Potter to correspond with Chayiv later on. Okay, that's just to clarify. Now, Agadata time. We have a bit of a couple of Dapim of Agadata. We've kind of had some serious Gemara for 30 blot, and now we get to, I guess, chill out and listen to a couple of stories. She'ol she'ela lo le'ila Merebi Tanchum Dimin Nove. They asked a question of Rebbe Tanchum from Nove. And they said, or Navi, Nevi, I'm not sure exactly. Ma'al lechabos butzdut nura mekame bi'isha b'shabsa. Are you allowed to extinguish a candle for someone who is very sick on Shabbos? So Pasach v'yamar. Apparently it wasn't just a personal shayla. Apparently there were a lot of people there. It seems like, because, you know, Rebbe Tanchum went on this whole discourse. And we'll see, Agav, you know, obviously, you can see just by the question, right, I'm sure you're thinking, right, obviously, if someone is very, very sick, right, chol she'yesh bo sakana, so obviously you're allowed to extinguish a candle for him. So as the Gemara is going to say on Amar Beis, so this person was not so, or Rashi will point out, I think, no, the Gemara, I think, says it, that this person was not so learned. So he didn't really know. So kol hakavod for asking the Shaila. And then Rabbi Tanchum went on this whole discourse, and then he answers the Shaila at the end. So let's hold on. Here we go with the whole kind of shmooze. Pasach v'yamar Rabbi Tanchum said like this: An Shlomo, oh you Shlomo Melech, An Chachmasach, An Sechla Sanusach. Where is your Chachma? Where is your Bina? Where is your understanding? Lo dayecha, is it not enough? Shedvarecha sosrin divrei David avicha, that your words contradict your father. Ela shedvarecha sosrin zedzeh, but your words contradict it themselves as well. And he explains. David avicha, amar, David your father said, lo hamesim yaluka, people who pass away, rachman al-tzlan, can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. Ve'ata amarta, and you said, v'shevach ani, v'shabeach maybe, v'shabeach ani as hamesim shekvar mesu. Right, I praise the people who have already passed away. V'chazarta ve'amart, and then you went and you said, ki lekelev chai hu tov mi ariyeh hames. No, it's better to be a live dog than to be a dead lion. So on the one hand, is it good to be dead? Is it not good to be dead? So what's going on over here? So Rabbi Tanchum said, lo kasha, ha deka amar David lo hamesim yihal luka, hachik amar. This is what David meant. Lo'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvos kodem shiyamus. A person should learn Torah as much as he can before he passes away. Shekem shemes, because once he does, so botel min haTorah min haMitzvos, he can no longer learn Torah and do mitzvos. Ve'en l'Kadosh Baruch Hu shevach bo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no longer, does not have any shvach from him. Ma'ayinu da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is Rabbi Yochanan, said, ma'ayidichtir, what does it mean when the pasuk says, b'meisim chavshi, I'm free, the dead are free. Kevin shemes odam nashe chavshi min Torah mitzvos. That's when a person passes away, he is quote-unquote free, no longer chayiv in Torah and mitzvos. Umitkamer Shlomo v'shaveach 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 ani es hamesim shekvar mesu. So what did Shlomo mean when he said that? Shekishachatu Yisrael b'midbar, when Bnei Yisrael did the chait of the Egel Azov in the midbar. So Amar Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'amar kama tefilas v'zachanu in lefanov. Moshe davened for Am Yisrael v'lo nana, and he wasn't answered. But when he started to invoke, Schus Avos, he started mentioning the, the Avos. So Miyad Nanem, immediately he was answered. So therefore, Shlomo said very well. It's like rhetorical. And Shlomo therefore didn't. Shlomo say very nicely. Right? You give kavod to the mesim already passed away, because that's something that that was how Moshe Rabbeinu was answered. Davar Acher, another way to understand what Shlomo meant, so that he didn't contradict his father David. Minhago Shalom, the way the world works is Sar Basar Vidam goes Gzeira. An officer who's human makes a Gzeira. Safik Mekaimenosa, Safik Ein Mekaimenosa. So some people might follow and people might not follow. Right? We have nowadays with all the Gzeiros of the Malchus in terms of the Rachman Latzlan La'olenu, the virus. So they say, this gzera, wear a mask and stay within 100 meters of your house. And some people follow, and Rachman Litzlan, some people don't. Vimtim Tzolomer, Mekai Minosa. And if people do it, Bechayav Mekai Minosa, they fulfill it when the ruler is still alive, but Mimosa, but after he passed away, for sure, ain't Mekai Minosa. But for sure, if the, back in the day, if a ruler made a gzera, so once he passed away, so but the gzera. But Moshe made a bunch of gzeros, v'tikin kama takanos, and made a bunch of takanos. Rashi writes, one of them is in Yonah V'Yoma, the only one that Rashi quotes, actually. Rashi over here says, where is that Rashi? Tikin kama takanos, Rashi says, ki ahi detani Megillah, at the end of Mesakos Megillah, Moshe tikin len l'Yisrael, she yushol them v'dorshim ben yonah shal yom, bach pesach, sukkos pesukkos, etc., etc., that when Yantav comes, not only do you have to learn the halachos of the Chag before the Chag, but you should also learn the halachos of the Chag on the Chag, and then we're going to have them in Hashem in a couple of days. Ve'kayamos heim la'olam al'olam al'olamim, and we see that his gzeros are fulfilled l'asid lavo forever. Ve'lo yafa amar Shlomo, so therefore it was great when Shlomo said, v'shaveach ani esamisim, I'm going to praise the people who pass away, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Davar Acher, another way to interpret what Shlomo Melech meant, Shabeach Ani, etc. Kidir Rav Yehuda Marav. What does it mean when the pasuk says, "Asei mi os tova v'Yerusalayim v'Yoshu"? Make a good sign for me, and let my enemies be embarrassed. So Amar David of Nekosh Baruch Hu, David said to Hashem, "Ribono Shel Olam, Mechol Li Al Oso Avon." Please, Hashem, forgive me for that chait, the chait with him in Batsheva. And Amar Lo Mechol Lecha. Kosh Baruch Hu said, Machalach, right, like we say on Erev Rosh Hashanah with the Taras Nadarin, Machalach, 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 right, Kosh Baruch Hu forgave him. Amalo, so David said to him, Asei mi os b'chayai, so make a sign for me that people will realize that you have forgiven me. Because Amalo, b'chayecha eini modia. No, I'm not going to do it when you're alive, but b'chayei Shlomo bincha ani modia. But I'll do it when Shlomo is alive. What was that? So the Targum says, the Gemara explains, Kishibana Shlomo is based on Mikdash, when Shlomo built the base on Mikdash, BK Shlahachnes Aron, the base Kodesh Kadashim, he wanted to put the finishing touches, right? He wanted to bring the Aron into the Kodesh Kadashim. Dovku Sharem Zebazet, but the gates, Rashi writes, the gates of the Kodesh Kadashim, a little bit strange, right? Because Rashi emphasizes that. We know there weren't really gates in front of the Kodesh Kadashim. So, I'm not sure either there's an ace or it's just metaphorical. You know, that they're curtains. You know, there's a paroches, right? In front of the Kodesh Kadashim. Okay. But the gates kind of stuck to each other. And Amar Shlomo Esrim V'Arba Renano. So, Shlomo said 24 songs or praises. V'lo Nana. And he wasn't answered. Pasach V'Yamar, he said, Su Sharim Rashechem, right? The song we're familiar with from Mishil Shal Yom. Su Sharim Rashechem V'Nasu Pesche Olam V'Yamon Malach HaKavod. Right, let the gates kind of open up, and let the Malach HaKavod enter, and then all of a sudden, but Ratu Basrei L'Mivalei, and the gates, the Gemara says, maybe perhaps metaphorically, or maybe literally, I don't know, the gates wanted to swallow him. Amru Miza Melech HaKavod. Right? Who is this Melech HaKavod? So Amru Lahu, Shlomo said back to them, no, I'm not referring to myself. Hashem is Vigibor. Right? I'm talking about Kosh Baruch Hu. So Chazav V'Yamar, then Shlomo said again, Su Sharim Rashaychem V'Su Pesheh Olav Yomo Melech HaKavod. Miu Zeh Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakos Yom Melech HaKavod Tzela. Right? But even after he clarified V'lo Nane, he wasn't answered. Came to Amar then when he said Hashem Elokim Al Tashiv Pnei Mishivaka Zochar L'Chazri David Avdecha. Please Hashem remember the Chesed of David Amalek. So Miad Nane, immediately he was answered, and I guess the gates opened up. Osa Shah Nefku Pnei Kol Sone David Keshule Kederos. At that moment, all of the faces of David, of the people who hated David, it was not like he was a king. He had political enemies. People wanted to ruin his reputation, etc. Rashi writes there, Dafka, what is that Rashi? Rashi writes, Mishpacha Shaul and Shimi ben Gera, and those people. So David did have enemies, but they turned, their face turned black. They were embarrassed. Right? Literally, the Keshule Kadera means the bottom of the pot. Right? The pot sits on a fire, gets charcoal. So they were embarrassed. That's the metaphor, or the imagery. V'yadim kol al mecho Yisrael shem alchulo akosh baruch holo so avon, and everybody knew that akosh baruch hu forgave David HaMelech about that chet. So therefore, it was beautiful when Shlomo said, wasn't it great when Shlomo said, "V'shavech ani esamesim shekvar mesu." Okay. And this is similar to what the pasuk says. "V'yom hashmini shalach es ha'am v'yivarchu es ha'melech v'yilchu la'aleim smicha v'tov leiv v'tuvei leiv al kol tovah asher asah Hashem l'David avdeu l'Yisrael amo." Right. That pasuk is talking about that day when they put the aron into. I guess either when he put the Aron in or during the festivities to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara learns out exactly which, what all of those words mean. Vayichulo aleihem, the Bnei Yisrael went to back to their homes. Shematu nishoseim betara. They found that all their wives were no longer nidos. They were all betara. Smeichim, they were happy. Shenenu miziv ashkina, because they had, they had benefited. They had been in the divine presence. Kosh baruch hu miziv ashkina. V'tov leiv, what was tov leiv? Shenis abru nishosem kol shakol echav echav yalda zachar. Everybody became pregnant that day, and they had a baby. Just had a Zoom bris for my new nephew, who has a mamish beautiful name, Reuven Lior Shimshon. Fabulous, I think. At least, most names are beautiful. Let's be serious. There are only a short handful of names that people would be like, "Oh, that's a terrible name." No one's really going to say that. But anyway, Baruch Hashem, for Simchas, people are happy with Bris, and maybe Shalom Zachar, and perhaps a Pidyon, etc., etc. Al Kol HaTovah, Asher Asah Hashem, LeDavid Avdo, and everybody was happy for all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for David. Shemalcho Lo Osa Avon, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him for that sin. That's why we brought this. U'Lisrael Amo, and for Am Yisrael, De'achalu Avon De'Yom HaKippurim. This is fascinating, that they knew that Hashem had forgiven them for the Chet on Yom Kippur. What's the Chet on Yom Kippur? So that year, the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash ran through Yom Kippur and into Sukkot. There were 7 days of partying. And for whatever reason, they paskin, they decided that they should not fast on Yom Kippur, rather they should celebrate the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. And even though that was a psak of the Gedolim, of Shlomo HaMelech, etc., they were still probably kind of a little nervous, as I would imagine I would be, right? Okay, this is what the Gedolim say, but I'm not so comfortable. So then when the Kosh Baruch Hu, you know, he showed them that he loved them, so that apparently they realized that no, the Kosh Baruch Hu forgave them, quote unquote, for the chait of eating on Yom Kippur, and they were happy that Hashem showed them that was fine. Okay. The Gomer Shlomo now, with the last pasuk that we mentioned, ki lekelav chai, who told me, aray ames, it's better for to be a live dog than to be a dead lion. There's about a dead lion imagery to be like a dead king, perhaps, a dead David HaMelech, as the Gemara is going to explain. Kidder Rav Yehuda Marav, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Ma'adu Chtiv, what does it mean when the pasuk says, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi, Umidas Yomai Mahi, Eidaki Chadel Ani? Pasuk says in Tehillim, David HaMelech wants to know, Hashem, tell me my future. And how long my days will be, and I want to know when I will end, when I will pass away. So, Amar David Lefnei Kosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Hashem, Hodini Hashem Kitzi, right? Let me know my future. Amar Lo, Gzeiru Hi Melefanai Shem Modin Keter Shobar Sabadam. No, there's a Gzeiru in front of me that I don't tell people their future, right? Rashi writes, Kitzi HaSidos Lavo Alai. I'm not going to tell you your future. Umidas Yomai Mahi, David said, well, at least tell me how long I'm going to live. So Kosh Baruch Hu said back to the same thing. I've decided it's not a good idea to tell people when they're going to die. Veda machadeli, but let me know when I will pass away. Rashi says, at least tell me what day of the week, or what day of the month, I'm not sure, but Hashem answered him with the day of the week. He's Amar Lo b'Shabbos Tamuz. You're gonna pretty well known that David HaMelech was supposed to die on Shabbos. Agav Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech's yahrzeit is also on Shavuos. That's one of the reasons why we read Sefer or Megillas Rus. We'll see. As you'll see, the Gemara is gonna say he died on Shabbos. So it could be that it was Shabbos Shavuos, or it could be that Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same. All right. Anyway, either way, let's just roll with the Gemara here. Amus Becha. So Hashem said you're going to die on Shabbos, and David said Amus Becha b'Shabbos. Give me another day. Right. Not that David was trying to chop some more time, but Rashi says that he was nervous that there would be halachas involved in terms of burying him. Right. On Shabbos, right, there's always issues, and as the Gemara is going to explain in Amud Beis, the Dakor issues with a mace on Shabbos. So he was concerned about Kavod HaMeis, etc., etc., perhaps Kavod HaMalchus. So he said, at least let's do it on Sunday, so at least we don't have any complications with the halacha. So David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Lo, Hashem said back to him, no, Kvar Higi HaMalchus Shlomo Bincha, Ve'in Malchus Nogas Bechavito. There's something that the Gemara mentions a couple of places, that kingships, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that kingships should pass from one to the next, so that's exact. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't play around. Meaning kings don't last. Right? We see a lot all over Shas, all over Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special hashkacha over, right? Hashkacha prat is over everybody for sure, but a special hashkacha on kings and leaders. And we see that when one is gozer, that their reign is going to end, so they can't infringe on another. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, no, this is how it works. Shlomo is already supposed to be king by Sunday. So we can't extend you anymore. Amuz be'erev Shabbos. So David said, okay, so do it on Erev Shabbos. I'm not asking for more time. I'm concerned about the halachos here. Let's do it on Erev Shabbos. So Amar Lo, so Hashem said back to him, Kito, unbelievable line. This is tremendous, Moser. Kito, maybe mitzvah Hashem, I'll try and remember, right? When you make a siyum, so you try and quote one big Moser from the Masechta, right? Because people are waiting around to eat. But if I can bleed nether, if I remember, I would love to quote this, because this is such a tremendous Moser. Kitov yom b'chatzerecha me'elef. Hashem said to him, no. It was one day in your courtyard is better than 1,000. What does that mean? Tov li yom echa shata yosef v'osek b'torah mi'elef olos shatid shlomo bincha la'akriv l'fanay agave mizbeach. Hashem said, one day of you, David, studying Torah is better than 1,000 korbanos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring on the Mizbeach. We think, very often, that the highest form of worship is a korban, a sacrifice, tremendous mesiras nefesh, tzaddikim who fasted for God knows how long. Kosh Baruch was like, it's very simple. The greatest thing you can do, by a large margin, is just study Torah. Just sit and learn. Moshe wants to tell the Kosh Baruch Hu, and we have the tradition Chazal said is that Kosh Baruch Hu v'dalad avos shal halacha. We get a relationship with our Kosh Baruch Hu through studying the Torah. That's how we get to know Him. That's how we have a relationship with Him. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem said, "I'm not going to kill you one day early. Even I appreciate your concern about the halachos, but one day of your Torah learning is worth more than 1,000 korbanos." That Shlomo HaMelech is going to bring. So even if theoretically, right, Shlomo HaMelech's reign would begin one day early, yeah, which means that he would get to build the Beis HaMikdash one day earlier, right? He would set up whatever, you know, let's say it take 5 years to build the Beis HaMikdash. So 5 years minus a day, it would be built one day earlier, and obviously there'd be a tremendous amount of korbanos that day. So even that extra day of korbanos is worth nothing compared to one day of you learning Torah, David HaMelech. I think it's tremendous mussar. Alright, anyway. Weiter in the Halakha Shas, let's do exactly that. Kol yoma de shabasa hava yasi vigares kula yoma. So David, well, now armed with this information, David decided, well, every Shabbos, 25 hours plus, hope he didn't, maybe he held Rebbeinu Tam, I don't know, 26 hours, whatever it was. So he sat and learned all day, every Shabbos. Because the Gemara says, Rashi says in other places in Sota, that the Malach HaMaves is not able to take someone when he is learning Torah. Divrei Torah or Kolten, the Gemara says in Makos, unclear whether it means exactly that, but basically Divrei Torah protect a person. So the Malach HaMaves can't touch you when you're learning Torah. Ahu Yoma Deboy Leminach Nafshe, and sure enough, eventually it came to the day when David was supposed to pass away. Kam Malach HaMaves. The Malach Mavis came to David, v'lo yachale, he wasn't able to take him. V'lo have a pasak pumei megirsa, because David did not let his mouth stop learning, stop speaking, stop talking Torah. So Amar, so the Malach Mavis said, evidle, what am I going to do? Avale bustana achore besa. And apparently there was a bunch of trees, an orchard, that's the word, behind David's house. Right? He lived in a palace, and Stame had some nice backyard. Also, Malach HaMavis, Solik Uvachish Be'ilane, Malach HaMavis came and sat on one of the trees. I forget if he broke the branch or he shook the branch. Either way, there was some sort of noise. Nafik Lamechzeh, and David HaMelech looked up, or got up to see what was going on. Have a Solik Badarga, and again, he was still talking Torah as he got up. Right? He was still, chazering the Gemara or whatever it was, and he was still speaking Torah at that point. So, and he went to go to the stairs. Apparently, he had stairs to go down or go up. I'm not sure. But Mustafa to go down, let's say, from his porch, just if you can imagine a modern equivalent. Itzchus Darga Mitusei, one of the stairs broke from underneath him, and he fell for a second. He was startled, right? He kind of like fell in through the wood or whatever it was. But Ishtik, and he was quiet for a second because, you know, obviously you're startled, you know, when something happens. You fall down, you step through a step, so he was stopped learning for a moment, and then v'nachnafshe, and then the Malach HaMavis was able to take him. Shalach Shlomo lebe midrasha, and at that moment, or a little bit later, I guess, when Shlomo found out that David had passed away, he sent a shayla to the Beis Medrash. Unbelievable shayla. Abba mesu muto b'chama. He had two shaylas, actually, you'll see, even though it sounds like one. Abba mesu muto b'chama. My father passed away, and he's lying in the sun. What do I do? It's Shabbos. It was mukta, a dead body, a mace is mukta. It's not nolad, obviously the opposite of Rahman al-Islam of nolad, but it's halakhically nolad because there's now no purpose with this mace. I mean, it's mukta machmas gufo. Right? You can't move a mace necessarily for anything, but it's out sitting in the sun. Uklavim shall base ava ra'ivim, and my father's dogs are hungry. Now, these are, just to clarify, these are two shaylas. Shlomo did not think that David's dogs were going to eat him, at least as I understand. But Shlomo also needed to feed the dogs, and he wasn't sure how to feed them. So, ma'esa, what am I supposed to do? Right, just thinking out loud, now that I'm reading this, it could be that David had the achrayas to feed the dogs while he was alive, but once he passed away, so then that achrayas passed to Shlomo, and maybe he'd never done it yet, or he didn't know what they ate, or what the situation with meat was. Anyway, those are two separate shaylas. He says, ma'ese, what do I do? So Shalchul, they said back to him, chatoch nevela v'hanech lefnei klovim. You're allowed to cut up a nevela, a dead animal, and give it to the dogs. V'avicha, and your father, hanachalav kikaro tinok utaltalo, but in terms of the mace, so put a piece of bread, or a tinok, or a baby on top of it, and utaltalo. Then you can carry it either inside or to a shady area to get it out of the sun. So just to clarify, that's not a blanket heter, right? If you have something that's muktzah and you want to move it, so you can't just put something that's not muktzah on top of it. That is a special halacha in terms of because you have covered hames issues and covered abrios issues. But the whole thing, I mean, what the Gemara just says here, v'lo yafa amar shlomo ki lekelav chai hu tov min arei hames, being a living dog is better than a dead lion. Meaning, Shlomo didn't have to put anything on the nevela. He was able to just throw the nevela with maisa, a dead animal that's not been shefted, you can't eat it, so that's also muktzah. But apparently you were allowed to just move that and give it to the dogs without putting anything on top of it. But David HaMelech, who was a quote-unquote a dead lion, so they needed to do some sort of halachic wrangling to put, you know, an item on top of it and then move it. So Shlomo said well when he said it seems in this scenario to be better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Okay. Finally, Rabbi Tamchun, again, if you remember what Rabbi Tamchun asked him if you can put out a candle for someone who cholish yesh bo sakana. And therefore, Rabbi Tamchun finally answered the question. In terms of the question he asked me before, so he said like this, ner kruya ner, not a candle, right? A lamp is called a candle. V'nishma so shel adam kruya ner. And so too, the soul of a person is also called a ner. Rashi quotes the pasuk, ner elokim nishmas adam. Pasuk in Mishle. So a ner, a nisham is also called a ner. So mutav techave ner shel basar adam mepnei nero shel akash baruch hu. It's better to put out the candle of a person, i.e. the lamp, the actual candle, than put out the candle of Akash Baruch Hu, i.e. the neshama. And so he did like a kal v'chomer. So Rashi here says something fascinating. Meaning, that's not the source of pikuch nefesh doche Shabbos. Pikuch nefesh doche Shabbos because the pasuk says, v'chai b'hem, you should live through them, the Gemara Darshan's v'chai b'hem, v'sholoshai yomus b'hem, but you should fill the mitzvot so that you should live, and not that you should die. Right, but this is a cute little drasha type of fancy thing. It sounds nice, but it sounds like a schmooze. So that's what Rashi writes. Now, Rashi writes that there were amei haaretz there, people who were not so learned, and he needed to tell it in a way that would Rashi writes limshoch el libam, that kind of would draw to their hearts. Meaning people would they'd be like, oh, that's so nice, and they would like listen to him. Right? They didn't want to hear a halachic discourse or drasha or something, you know, cut and dry. They needed like a nice svara. Okay. So that's how he answered the question. Okay, vayt. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bring there a Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Bikshu Chachamim lignos Sefer Koheles. Chachamim wanted they wanted to hide Sefer Koheles. Mepnei Dvarim Sostrin Zedze, because you have some contradictions in it. Umepnei Malo Gnazuhu, and why didn't they? Because the beginning is in line with Divrei Torah, and the end is in line with Divrei Torah, as the Gemara is going to explain right now. So therefore, it must be that the things in the middle made sense, and they just had to work to figure out what Shlomo HaMelech meant. Tchilasu Divrei Torah, what does it mean that the beginning was Divrei Torah? The pasuk says, "Ma Yisrael la'adam b'chol amalo sheyamol tachas haShemesh." What is the point of all the effort that a person does, tachas haShemesh, meaning in this world? Amrei de Beir Aviyanei, the base medrash of Rabbi Yanei said, "Takas Hashemesh u'de'in lo, but kodem Hashemesh yesh lo." Anything he does under the sun, i.e., in this world, so there's no benefit. But kodem Hashemesh, but if he does work in something that was before the sun, i.e., the Torah, right? Chazal say that Kosh Baruch Hu istaklu ba'raisa bara alma, Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. So if he, for a person to put work into Torah, so that is certainly beneficial. So for Divrei Torah, and the end of Koheles, there's Divrei Torah. Dichtiev Zbazik says, "Sof Devar Hakol Neshma, Es Elokim Yiraves Mitzvosav Shemor Ki Zeh Kol Adam." At the end of the day, fear God, do the mitzvos. That's the whole point of life. My Ki Zeh Kol Adam. What does it mean that this is all a man has? I'm Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol Olam Kulo Nivra Ela Bishvil Zeh." The entire world was only created for this guy. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana phrased it a little differently. Shakol Zeh Kenegi Kol Olam Kulo. This person is equal to the entire world. Shimon ben Azai Omer, Shimon ben Azai, Rami la Shimon ben Zoma Omer. So they phrase it slightly differently. Lo nivra kol olam kulo elo tzeves lezeh. The whole world was only created to be this person's tzeves. Tzeves in nowadays Hebrew means the staff. But it means the, you can imagine a boss and a staff. So it's the same imagery. That the whole world is created just to serve this person. What's exactly the difference between the three? I don't know. I'm sure there is, Chazal talk about it, the different exact phraseologies, but let's go back here. My dvarav sosun zedze. What are the examples? Now, we said again, those, that's the beginning and the end of Kohelis. So those are different Torah, those align with Torah principles. But what's the contradictions in the middle? The chsiv, the pasuk says, tov kas mischok. It's better to be angry than laughing. Uksiv, but the pasuk also says in Kohelis, the schok amarti maholal. It's praise. I can praise someone. I said to praise someone who laughs. Ksiv, it also says, v'shibachti aniyas ha-simcha, and I will praise joy, simcha. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, u'l'simcha ma'azoz osa, but another pasuk says, what good does simcha do? So you have a bunch of stiras. The Gemara says, lo kasha, the Gemara is going to answer similarly. Again, once they have those psukim to guide kind of Shlomo's worldview, you can understand these contradictions, seemingly contradictions, seeming contradictions in the same way. Tov kas mischok, what does it mean when it's better to be angry than laughing? So tov kas shakoz kosh poruchu ala tzadikim ba'olam hazeh, mischok shemisachek kosh poruchu ala rishayim ba'olam hazeh. It's better the anger that a kosh poruchu puts on the tzadikim in this world than rachman l'tzlam lo aleinu. Here in Bona Beis HaMikdash, we're experiencing a bit of a hister panim with this whole virus thing. So, but the anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on the tzaddikim is better than the happiness and the simcha he gives to the Rishayim. And again, the classic interpretation is that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Rishayim all their schar in this world, but he gives the Rishayim, gives the tzaddikim all the schar in the next world. So don't necessarily, you know, see that it's when a tzaddik falls, so it must be that he's not doing the right thing. No, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging him much harsher in terms of, you know, midas ha-din. And really, he's going to get all the schar in the next world, and then Russia gets all the schar in this world. For the schok amarti meholal, what is so? What do I praise? Or Shlomo Melech said he praise schok, laughter. Zeh schok shemisakeh kodesh baruch hu matzadikim ba'olam haba. That's the schok, the laughing, the simcha that a kodesh baruch hu gives to the tzadikim in the next world. What about the second part? The second psukim that we pointed out? V'shibachta ani es ha-simcha, I praise simcha. So that's referring to simcha shal mitzvah. U'le simcha mazozo. So what does simcha do when Shlomo says, what's simcha worth? It's not worth anything. So zu simcha shal eino shal mitzvah. That's not simcha of mitzvah. Lamedcha, to teach you, she'in shechina shore lo mitoch atzvus. Shechina does not, rest upon a person when he's sad, v'lo mitoch atzlus, and not when he's lazy, v'lo mitoch schok, and not when he's joking around, v'lo mitoch kalos rosh, and not when he's also joking around, v'lo mitoch sicha, and not through just random talking, kind of like sicha is a speech, but just talking about stam random things, v'lo mitoch dvarim betelim, and not through other, I'm not sure why it repeats it, dvarim betelim is just talking about other things that are batel, things that are not shayach, really, ella, really the point is this. When is the Shechina Shora on somebody? Mitoch Dvar Simcha Shal Mitzvah. When a person has a Simcha of Mitzvah. Shemar, as the Pasuk says, V'atak Chuli Menagein, V'yakin Agein, HaMenagein, V'atihi Olav Yad Hashem. Right? Famous, or pretty well-known Shweki song. And Elisha needed a musician to get him in the mood to have what's it called? To have Nevuah. So you see, they have to be in a good mood, and there needs to be some sort of Mitzvah involved. Simcha shal mitzvah. Again, Rashi says just quickly what kind of simcha was there by listening to the music. Where is that? I think Rashi says it. Yeah. Interesting. The Rashi says simcha shal mitzvah gives the example of the knasas kala. Right, that's a big simcha. But a little bit later, what is it? Chuli menagein. Yeah, Rashi writes mitzvah hila hashros olav shchina. Right, the mitzvah was for Elisha to get Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the fact that he was involved in trying to get that to come, that was a big schos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, V'chein l'dvar halacha. And so too, for halacha, fascinating, that for the dvar halacha, Rashi writes, I think Rashi's thing says B'divrei Torah. No, that must be less. That must be later. But anyway, in terms of Dvar Halacha, Simcha is also very important for a Dvar Halacha. Amar Rava, Rava says, V'chein l'cholam tov, and also for a good dream. Meaning that a person needs to be happy. If he wants to have good dreams, he should put himself in a good mood. Same thing with in terms of studying Torah. It's important to be b'simcha when a person studies Torah. Kamar says, Eini, is that really true? V'amar Rav Gidel, Amar Rav. Rav Gidel said in the name of Rav, Kol Tamid Chacham Sheyoshev Lefnei Rabo, V'ein Sifsosov, No tfos mar, and his if a Talmud sits in front of his Rebbe and his lips are not trembling, tikavena, he should be burned. He should burn, i.e., burned in Gehenna. Shanim Bar Zabazik says, Sifsosav Shoshanim, no tfos mar over. But his lips are Shoshanim, are roses, no tfos mar over, dripping with more. Not sure, that's one of the, I think, spices. Not sure exactly, but the Gemara, anyway, changes it a little bit. Al tikri mar over, ella mar over. Right, it should have some sort of bitterness that's coming or passing through. Al tikri shoshanim ela sheshonim, rather people who are studying. Meaning, you see that someone who's studying Torah should be in a serious mood, right? They should be nervous, should be kind of like freaking out a little bit. So Gemara says, Lokasha haraba ha-talmid. Right? No. Okay, the Rebbe needs to be b'simcha. The Talmud needs to have proper respect and awe and kind of seriousness in front of his Rebbe. Ibai Seima, another answer. Hava Haba Rabba. No, both of them are talking about the Rebbe. The Rebbe. For Lokashan, there's no problem. Hava Kami Deliftach. Hava Vasar Pasach. Before he begins, yeah, he should have a bit of a simcha about him. But after he starts learning Torah, so then Divrei Torah is serious. We're not messing around while learning Torah, so that we treat seriously. Ki Hada Rabba. And you see that Rabba did that exactly. That exact thing. Mekami the pasuk lu rabbanan before he would start teaching. It's Amar Milsa de bidichusa. He would say a joke. You see, the rabba was you see personality a little bit sometimes in the Tanaim. Yeah, the rabba was a chiller. He would say a joke before he gave a shiur. Ubatchi rabbanan and the people that would laugh. The rabbanan would people were enjoying his humor. Lesof, but at the end, or afterwards, Yosef Be'imasa, but then he would sit seriously. Be'ima is fear, or kind of like awe. Uposak Meshmaita, and he would begin teaching Torah. So you see that, yeah, it was good to have that simcha to get yourself in a good mood, but once you started learning, so then you needed to focus and be serious. Okay, Shkoyakoda, we'll stop here. And it's a shem, we'll go back there in Shas tomorrow.